The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This is for you. This is for you and me and who we see when we see each other. This is for all. This is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore. You've been waiting at the door. And it's time to open.
This is oh yeah, there it is, the door opening again. I can hear it. It's a smooth opening. There's nice oil coming into the economy, into the future. It's Dr. Val Kirkhard here with her buddies, Dr. Louis Constantine and the ever-amazing Randy Shannon, who's got a great story to tell you today. You're listening to Waking Up in America, and we're presented by Mary Louise Zeller, 20 times gold medal taekwondo champion in forms, and she's an international Kayani distribution agent, which means that she gets to be an ambassador and travel all over the world. She's one of the most positive human beings you'll ever meet in your life and one of the most inspiring. So, Mary Louise, I know that you're going through your own special times right now with your dear husband Ron. He's in hospice, folks, so your prayers are invited to him. He's over 80 years old, I believe, and he's an inspiring man who has lived a good life and helped a lot of people, and got to be one of my top favorite humans on the face of this earth. So Ron Zeller, we love you, and Mary Louise, we love you, and Adam, and we pray for you while you're going through this transition here. And one of the cool things about radio waves, folks, is they go out into the universe and they never stop rotating. They never stop circling around. I was at a art event in Pasadena, I believe it was Otis Art Institute, about 3 or 4 years ago with my friend Lita Albuquerque. She's a great artist who puts on a lot of cool things and is part of a lot of good art shows. And one of the rooms at this particular art exhibit, you walked into the room and there was a microphone, and then you would speak into the microphone, and then you would hear your voice, whatever it was that you said in the microphone, and it would start to echo around the room. And then you would, in a moment, you would hear the previous person's conversation into the microphone. And they just would randomly show up. And I found out that it was an exhibit on radio waves and that what we say and do in the world, and I think radio is a good example of that, never leaves. It echoes through eternity. There's even been some movies that have been about that particular thing, about the echoing of the conversation through the universe. So here we are on Waking Up in America, and we're creating conversations that we want to echo through the universe to bring you safety, to bring you wisdom, to support you and each of us as we love one another, to know the joys of a team, such as the team we have here on Waking Up in America. We were just talking about John Thomas, the webmaster, who makes things happen so smoothly for us. And we have, in the background, we have people helping. We have people that make out cards for the show. We have radio networks that put all of this together. And our purpose and our hearts in being here has to do with sharing information with you that you might not be hearing about in other places, because America has slid down into a political sewer, would be. We're trying to think of what words we could say on the air that would describe the situation. Right now, we're in a political sewer where there are people taking advantages and trying to milk the last bit of money out of American citizens. And also the last bit of health. One of the things that we were just talking about before we went on the air was the Obamacare bill, and I was reading something from the Sovereign Investor saying that the Obamacare bill is being undersubscribed, and because it's being undersubscribed, there's a certain number of people that have to be enrolled by April of 2014, and it's not going to happen, so the costs are going to explode. If you think it's in bad shape now, you can imagine what happens as the costs explode because the enrollments have not reached the minimums. So what they are suggesting at the Sovereign Investor is to get the project funded and then take it down, because right now it's kind of stuck in a limbo. But we're not stuck in a limbo in all kinds of things, because Americans have been accused of being cheap and being cattle and being lazy and all this kind of stuff. And what's happening is Americans have been waking up, and they just didn't know where to turn and what way to go. And what we're waking up to is the fact that our government is not really our government. What we're waking up to the fact is that we've been enslaved to a group of radical bankers and individuals that value money over human citizens and people of the planet. So we're going to be talking more about that today. Randy Shannon has had a big win this week. Louise is here. Would you chuckle for our listeners, Louise? There you go. So you know for sure he's here. He tends to do that.
I'm here.
Randy, would you?
I'm listening in.
I know you are. That's the fun of it. Randy, would you let our listeners know what we were talking about before the show? About your house?
Well, this week we closed on the house, and one of the things that I really was looking for is how can I really get ownership of the house? Most people don't own their homes. They are just tenants on the land. If they go look at their original paperwork, it says that they are tenants. That means that you are a renter. You don't really own what you have. That deed to the house never really is in your hands. It goes and gets registered with the Registry of Deeds, which is this corporation government form of always owning your land. And you're a renter, and if you don't think you are, try to not pay your tax one time, and they're going to come and take your house. If it's worth $500,000 or $100,000, and you've paid it in full even, try not paying your tax one time, they're going to come and take your entire home. That's only because you are a renter. The corporation government
and
owns
they can
your
take
property.
That your entire home that may be worth $5 million that you've paid off,
yes.
And you may owe $1,000 on it, and they'll still take it.
They will still take it. If you owe $25, they will still put it up for sale if you don't pay it. That's because you got to go back to the original paperwork, and it says you're a tenant on the land. And so I have been studying this entire week about what can I do to actually own the land when I walk away from this deal. And at the closing, we had a last-minute change of notaries, and the closing was pushed back about 3 hours, and we had this wonderful notary who allowed me to educate her through the entire process, and several times we were alone with her. And at the very end, I said to her, because the sellers had arrived, and the whole thing is done in the wrong order. There is such thing as an order to things, and when they fail to do that, you can actually take up a lawsuit.
Really?
That's what your title insurance is for.
So what was the wrong order?
Well, you're supposed to do it together. You're supposed to buyers and sellers together. And in fact, here, I was in there signing all the paperwork, and the sellers had not come to sign theirs. So how am I buying a house they haven't sold? That's the first thing. They should at least be in there before me, if not with me, and signing all the paperwork together in front of each other. And so that right there opens them up for a lawsuit.
Really?
So, and then there's other things that are in that process. There's a whole list of things that could go wrong, and it all has to do with the order process, the process of order. And at the very end, when the sellers were there, I said to the notary, she said, "Is there anything else you need?" I said, "Yes. What I would really like is to have an original to the deed of this house." because we had the conversation about the deed was going to go to the Registry of Deeds, which means it will never be in my hand, which means I will always be a renter, so I can pay on this and never own it. And so she said, okay. At the very end, I had her wore down, and she was educated enough about the government being a corporation. And
well, I
want to
stop you for a minute, because I don't think you wore her down. I think you intrigued the heck out of her.
She loved it.
My point,
she
didn't wear her down. She loved it. And
yeah.
I wanted to make that point because I want our listeners to realize that they have friends all over the place that they might not recognize, okay?
Yeah.
And you come
it's
into your friends.
Educating them.
Exactly. And they're intrigued. Just like when the FBI came over to my house, they left as friends. So if you're afraid to take stuff on, know that you have friends all over the place. Okay, back to you, Randy.
You do. And she made references to what's going on in the country and how corrupt the regime is that's sitting in power right now. So she's aware and not happy either. And so at the end, she pulled out an original. She stamped it, notarized it, had it witnessed. The sellers signed it right there in front of me. I was allowed to stay in the room, and I got my copy. So they have
you
a copy
got your original.
I have an original in my hand. Now, they're going to take theirs. She's going to send it off to the title company, who's going to send it off to the Registry of Deeds, and they forcefully charged me $300 for that. I said, I don't want to pay it. I'm a big girl. I can take my deed, and I can lock it up in a safe. But the government doesn't want you to.
How did they get $300 out of you?
Well, it's in the closing costs. They just automatically tack it in there. And I said to the title company, the owner of the title company, I said, no, I don't want to pay that. I want to hold my deed. Well, you can't because you're getting a loan. And so I forcefully can't because I'm getting a loan. And so then you're forcefully charged $300 for that. And if you say no to that, which I did early on, they said, well, we're going to stop all proceedings. So it's a threat. So
wow.
If you really want the house, you have to comply with the threat. So I did, and I didn't want to. But at the end, I did prevail because she went ahead and gave me. And I witnessed the witness. I witnessed her stamping. I witnessed the sellers. And I have ownership to this place, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, and you can take it to court, too.
I can take it to court now, and if anybody has a dispute, which who would have a dispute against it? Well, the government, the big bankers, the mortgage company, the IRS. If they decide to sue me because I didn't pay $25 in tax or $6,000 in tax.
You mean the plantation owners?
Yes, that is exactly
really when you're
right.
Talking, I keep thinking about how it's not really a government, it's really more like plantation owners. Dictating to the slaves about how they can have their shanty on the land if they work and do a certain number of crops, because that's what it feels like to me. And, Louis, you've been quiet over there. I'm wondering if you have any response or reaction to what Randy has been talking about. Louis?
He's not sure.
There he is. Wanted to find out where you were.
Well, no, I'm here. I'm just contemplating. This is new to me. I've never really, I never understood this process, and I'm afraid I still don't quite understand what's happening here.
And you know what? That's the scenario of most Americans. They don't get it. They don't understand what's really happening, and really, all you just have to know is this. If you get your taxes and you don't pay them, you're kicked off your land. That means you never owned it, ever. You had nothing. You have no rights. But with what I did, getting a copy of the dirt, getting an original deed, that means no one can kick me off my land for nothing. And let me explain further. What I will do now is move for something that's called a quiet title, which basically means that if anybody comes against me with a lawsuit, or let's say the IRS comes against me and says, well, you didn't pay this $25 in tax, a quiet title allows me to say, it's my land, not yours. I don't have to pay that if I don't want to. Or if the city comes to me and says, we don't like your 5-foot fence, we wanted you to have a 6-foot fence, that's what code is. Well, I don't have to listen to that because it's my land, not theirs. They can't find me for things like that. And if they do find me, I have a right to go to have a Seventh Amendment right. I have a right to take it to court and have a jury of my peers listen to that argument that I own it.
Really,
I'm not a renter.
Yeah, that's very, very, very interesting, Randy. I like this conversation a lot. One of the things that people may not know, it certainly never came up for me until I was in the Republic, because we were talking about similar things, but you're the first person to successfully pull it off. Here's the deal, folks. If you manage to pull off what Randy has pulled off, they can say that you're not legally entitled to, say, police protection or fire protection or those different things. And you know what? You can actually make a contract and pay a certain amount of year to the police department for protection in your area, or you can make a deal. You can also do a contract with the fire department so that you're actually taking over some of the things that your, quotes, taxes were supposed to be paying for you. You can make those arrangements privately, and most people aren't aware of that.
Some people in rural areas have to do that today. And that's actually how I found out about it. A friend of mine whose parents live out in a rural area actually pay just what you just said. They have like a contract with the police and fire, so they still have a right to those services. And they pay them a certain amount every year.
Yeah. So you can do that. And by the way, before 1913, I think that was the year that the sales tax came, or the taxes came in, the income tax, we had plenty of money. We had no problem paying our bills. Income tax was a banker's imagination through the Federal Reserve. There's just a number of things that they made up. They figured out ways of siphoning money out of the economy. I started reading Ellen Brown. Do you remember her, who's been on our show? She's traveling in Europe right now. I started reading her book, Public Banking. And our economy was extremely healthy. We didn't have any national debt. We had none of this. This whole thing has been done to structure debt so that we're forced to pay interest and we're forced to work for the interest, and our children are now committed to working for the interest. I think originally when I heard the figure, Lewis and Randy, I think it was that the average American citizen owed something like over $600,000 for all of these bills that this... I don't think it is a government. What's the, Lewis or Randy, do you know the right name, or Mike, do you know the right name for something besides dictatorship? Because I don't know if it's a dictatorship or what it is, but we're having rules laid down us, we're having money extracted to us, and none of this actually existed before 1913, and our country was prosperous, and we didn't have this horrible inflation that we've got. Do you know what that rule is?
Fascism, communism, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
There you go.
Well, tyranny is an aspect of it.
And that's coming from a former Marine. He ought to know.
Yeah, and what about all these vets, these poor vets that are going over there? The suicide rate of our vets when they come back is horrendous. We're losing more vets by suicide than we are through warfare. They're disillusioned.
And you know, there's nothing more sad than going to a military's funeral because he took his own life.
Right.
That's just got to be one of the saddest things. I witnessed that when I lived out in Camp Pendleton many years ago.
Yeah, I've gone to one in the last 6 months. You're right.
Okay.
Is that not
the
saddest thing?
I talked to one of these guys, okay, this is a long time ago, back in Pasadena, and the guy came in with his wife, because I was licensed as a marriage, family, child counselor, and he was a really nice man, and he had come back from the wars, and in between sessions, his wife came in the next week, he had taken his shotgun and put it in his mouth and blown his head off.
Yeah.
And it's just like... Yeah, and
to be
and
pushed
then,
so far, and
yeah,
looking,
and then I went down into the tunnels to help feed the homeless. Mm-hmm. Guess who was in the tunnels?
What?
It was the war vets were in the tunnels.
Yeah, they walk every street corner here every single day with cups out, wounded and no care.
Well, you know, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, and whether you approve of giving money to people or whether you don't approve of giving money to people, there's one thing that you can give to people that will lift your heart and their heart. And I carry spare bottles of water in the car every day, and I have no problem giving it around. And the look in people's eyes, because every human on this planet needs water. So
yeah,
there's a way
good.
That you can contribute, and one of the things that I wanted to think about today and have you think about is how can you create philanthropy in your life? For me, one of the ways is by giving away water. You don't have to be a rich person to be a philanthropist. So start looking in your life and seeing what you could contribute. I save cans and bottles, and I give those to people. And what I like about giving away the water is they get to use the plastic container. They get to drink the water, and then they can cash it in later, because a lot of people, you see them going around picking up bottles and things from the trash cans for recycling. That's how they keep themselves going. So what can I tell you? There's ways that you can do it. And Randy, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm so excited. And now this next week, moving to try and beat them. I'm going to try and get a Secretary of State seal on it. I'm going to do all kinds of things with it.
When are we going to be invited to a house party? When are you going to have us fly in and, you know?
Well, this first month, I'm going to re-roof the whole thing and repaint it. So right after that.
Tell us about
give me
your
30
home.
Days.
What is this home you bought for you and your four boys? Or are they all there, or some of them are not there anymore, I suppose?
It's pretty large, but I'm going to rent out part of it. It has like an entire apartment on it, but it's a 7-bedroom, 4.5 bath on an acre in
Oy.
South Miami. It's beautiful. And the entire property is fenced off, so nobody can get in. I have a gate that's remote controlled, and it's just amazing.
Wow. Sounds like a celebrity's home.
Do you have guard dogs?
With a new roof and paint.
do you have guard dogs do you have guard dogs and a shotgun if people get close?
I do. I have three guard dogs, and I do have the GUNs as well, and I love it. So I actually put one on my hip and wear it around the yard. And
You put one on your hip?
Come by. Yeah, I wear it on my waist, and when the different workers come by, because I've had roofers and everything, they see the gun, and they're all amazed that I pack, and they ask questions about it. So
you did have to register and all that stuff, right?
Well, I have a Second Amendment right, so
Amendment. I thought that one might be a good thing to bring up.
I have a Second Amendment. It says I have a right as a woman, and if I was a man, to protect myself at all times. I don't care what anybody else's rules or laws are.
Well, and you're on your own property, so, you know.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's Randy Shannon. And she has the right to do that. And here
yes,
you are. You're listening to Waking Up in America. So far this morning, you've heard Lewis chuckle a bit, so we'll have him come on right after the break here.
That's my contribution, yeah.
Randy, I and Mike are like had our coffee this morning. Also, what we've had is, at least I've had, is Patricia Bragg's apple cider vinegar drink. And I love this stuff. I like it so much that I made it the official drink of Waking Up in America along with Sir Jason Winter Tea, because both of these products, well, drinking the apple cider vinegar drink may sound like a bitter thing to do. It actually isn't. The drinks are just actually, I made up a slogan for it, Randy. Apple cider vinegar, the drink that you yearn for. Because our shipment didn't come in that was supposed to come in on time.
And I'm starving for it.
I know. Well, I realized I was yearning for it. So I called up and offered that to the company as the drink you've been yearning for, because once you've drunk it for a while, okay, and then if you have to go off it for some reason, then you start to yearn for it. So, and I also yearn for Sir Jason Winter Tea, and one of the reasons that you'll yearn for these things is that your body will go, yeah, when you drink them. It's like Sir Jason Winter Tea works with the immune system. So does Patricia Bragg's apple cider vinegar. There's other things going on that we don't have time to identify them all in a short conversation here. But these drinks, they're listed on our website at wakingupinamerica.com. All of those sponsorship programs are right down the side, and you'll be very intrigued with it. Also, I've started a blog there, so I put in a little conversation from Russ on the dinar, and we'll have an update on that.
Nice.
Also, there's a thing that happens when you put things together, okay? You've heard us talk a lot about Kayani. If I talk in my life about two things that made a huge difference to me, one of them would have to be Landmark in Education, and the other would be Kayani.
Which I can't wait to get my new shipment. I actually, for the listeners, just became a part of it, and I'll be getting mine, so I can't wait to talk about it next week.
Yeah, and the stuff is delicious. And one of the reasons that I'm really excited about Randy having Protandin is that she's a triathlete as well. So I've discovered that a lot of the sports people are actually using Kayani. Those people who don't want to do steroids and they don't want to have that mark against them. So they use Kayani and they double up and triple up on the dose and things like that, especially the marathon runners. So,
hey, can I interrupt you for a minute?
Please do.
If you go to YouTube and you type in Kayani free diving, one of my favorite YouTube videos has to do with Jesper Stegman, who's a world champion free diver. I don't know if I've mentioned this before. It's a 2-minute video, and in it he talks about how Kayani Nitro Extreme was the solution to his being able to exceed, reach and exceed the depth he had been striving for. Prior to that, he had been blocking out on the way up. This is a single breath hold dive to over 300 feet. So it's quite remarkable. And,
how does it work, the dive?
How does it work? Well, it's a monitored dive. I mean, there are people with scuba gear, of course, during free diving, but it's a dive with a large fin, if you will, that allows the diver to push him or herself down, straight down to a depth on a single breath hold.
Huh.
Of course, they have to make it back up on the same breath hold.
Right. A handy thing to get back up again.
You know, this sport is done in a variety of ways. Some use weights, I think, to help pull them down. I think some do not. But anyway, he's a world champion and was able to achieve that after, committing to using Nitro Extreme. But anyway, go on.
Okay, so we will talk more about this later. And what we talk about is things that make a difference. And this is our 27th year of radio, okay? And in those 27 years, many things have been presented to me. Protandin is another one of them, Protandin. It's actually a blood purifier. And with all of the stuff that goes on through life, I started taking Protandin before I started taking Kayani. So I've noticed things that give me like a little bit of a jump. And how I measure myself is by with how I complete things, okay? What I notice when I'm taking this team of assistants with me and I do things, I notice that I have energy that lasts longer, that I have more resiliency when things happen, that my mood is better, because part of what goes on when you're carrying a lot of toxins in your body is that there's a chemistry that's actually not beneficial to your point of view or how you would enjoy life. And I just am able to do things more. I find that my problem solving is better. I actually do something called Lumosity, and they're not giving me a cent for being on here, but there's something about your brain, exercising your brain, and it's Lumosity. I've doubled my speed and awareness and things of that nature in like less than 3 months, okay? And I've gone from a person whose speed was measured at about 35 to 40 to now my response time is up into the, I'm now in the top like 20% of the people of my age. I was down in, I was in the 40% line when I got started. It measures all different kinds of things from problem solving. It's wonderful. And you start putting it together, and since I've been doing this Lumosity and then I take these products, I can see how I've advanced. So also want to invite you to check out koningcompany.com. That also is on the website, and this is a 5,000-year-old process that cleans out your eustachian tubes, which affects headaches, sinus problems, all kinds of things. When you do this, this process has worked for over 5,000 years, and I personally see to it that we have rose-infused cones that are made with natural, pure beeswax. It's a quality process that makes a difference in your life. Aqua Chi, oh my gosh, Aqua Chi is great at detoxing. You actually put your feet in water that's been set up in a particular kind of way, and it actually pulls toxins out of your body, and you can feel the difference. It also energizes your cells. And along with this, we've got a new link from Michael as well, and it's about the telomeres. And the telomeres are the little tips on the DNA structure. And as the telomeres begin to age, they shrink in size. Well, this product that Michael has, and it's under telomeres, actually causes those little structures to increase or maintain their size. A friend of mine, Sherry Vincent, has been on these products for about 2 or 3 months, and people are already saying that she looks 20 years younger. That's simply because the telomeres aren't disappearing. They're actually rejuvenating. So that's another good thing. We have Randy Shannon's 42action.org. You think she's sassy on the air now? You should hear all the different people that come through to give you information on how the system actually works, the stuff you're not supposed to know, because they really prefer to have a nose ring through your nose and pull you along here and tell you a lot of baloney. Okay, so 42action.org is making bologna sandwiches and giving them right back. Also, we want to mention El Pinto Salsa and Jim Thomas and his brother John. What great guys. They've been doing a family destination restaurant that belonged to their dad. It's been there for over 50 years now, and they're known in Albuquerque for the best Mexican food. People fly in to come to El Pinto, and you can find their salsa in Ralph's Markets. Seriously, check it out. Click on the website link, and you will see the treasure that's in Albuquerque. Marketing with the Stars, that's Raw, bless his heart. He has 100,000 good people that actually are intelligent, actually buy things, actually are spiritual, all kinds of things of that nature. So check out Marketing with the Stars with Raw. Let him know that Waking Up in America sent you. Also, the Galactic Federation with Sheldon and Colleen. I love these guys. Every month I go to a seminar where they're educating us about our extraterrestrial visitors and what the ships will look like and when the arrival is coming, all that kind of good stuff there. DrValerie.com. I developed an emotional clearing process in 1984, of which I can actually neutralize any trauma that you've experienced or any of your ancestors have experienced. One of the things I've really seen lately is that a lot of people's problems actually aren't even their own problems. They're inherited problems. And it's amazing to work with somebody a generation or two back to find out that, you know, grandfather was upset about something and never got over it and passed it along, actually, because they're electromagnetic charges that are actually inherited. And it's fun and profound, actually, to neutralize these charges, because when you do, the way you perceive a situation actually alters and your ability to solve the situation increases. The more neutralized, more natural your responses to a situation, the better chance you have of coming to a solution that works for everyone. So that's most of the stuff that I want to mention, except I do want to mention Brooke Peterson, and she's down in Florida, and what she is an expert in water. And I'm actually doing a lot of investigation in water because I deemed myself Aqua Woman, because I've handed out so many bottles of water that I laughed about it. I said, you know, if there was one thing I could give this earth that I could put on my tombstone, what would I say? And I said it would be Aqua Woman, that every human being on earth had the best water possible. I think that the whole earth would be different. So you're listening to Waking Up on America. We're on the air with Randy Shannon, Dr. Louise Constantine, and Mike is guaranteed to pop in from time to time. And I just was curious, Lewis, what message do you want to pass on to us this morning?
Well, I guess a couple of things. One is that I had this experience yesterday where I suddenly had these floaters and flashers, you know, these events that happen when you are looking
out
through
the change
in vision, and my vision wasn't quite clear out of my right eye. And what happened is I had the start of what's called a posterior vitreous detachment, or PVD. It's a common event that occurs in
older
folks.
Of course, that's very common. I hear about it every day.
It happens in middle-aged folks, too. But anyway, I as I was driving to the ophthalmologist, because sometimes these PVDs, which are, you know, they're normal events, and they are typically really do not ultimately cause any problem. Sometimes they can cause retinal tears, and so it's important to get your eye looked at.
What is a retinal tear?
Well, you know, the vitreous, which pulls away from the retina when this happens, can actually pull a piece of the retina. The retina, of course, is what's on the back wall of your eye, where all the sensitive nerve endings and blood vessels are. And it's the piece of your eye that takes in the information from the outside. So without the retina, of course, you don't have vision. The vitreous, which is this gel-like substance that fills the globe of the eye, the ball of the eye, isn't an essential piece, and it eventually shrinks away at some point, which is what was happening. But anyway, it creates a visual distortion for a short period of time. And
so you want to
go to the eye doctor when that happens and make sure that it doesn't look like the retina is going to be involved or is involved.
What would have caused this?
It's a normal phenomenon that that just happens, and I can't really explain to you why at a certain point, somewhere between 45 and 70, it begins to shrink, liquefy, and then pull away. So as it just gets smaller.
Does it have anything to do with stress? Because the times that it's happened for me, I've been really tired.
It happens in almost everyone. So eventually. I was just thinking as I was driving to the ophthalmologist's office about how our vision is not so clear and how we don't have all the pieces of information. And so, you know, Randy is talking about, the importance of understanding the process of land ownership or home ownership. We all go through this process in buying a home and think that we understand what we're doing and that we own the home, and our vision has really been distorted, you know, by a process that's outside or beyond us. But anyway, that was an attempt at at making that connection. But that was what was on my mind yesterday, and it just reinforced how we have to have a broader vision and look into things with look at the details before we sign in the dotted line. It's just too easy, the nose ring that you mentioned. You know, I think certainly patients and physicians alike, you know, more and more feel that way, that all of the folks that have gone in the middle of healthcare, whether it's the pharmaceutical industry, the insurers, the government certainly, you know, have made the whole process of the physician-patient relationship much, much less satisfying. And the whole you know, the whole concept of either delivering care or receiving care, much, much more challenging. I think all of those players have resulted in a great deal of mistrust in the process. So, you know, we have to sort of look beyond what's happening immediately in front of us and see that really the issues are much broader. And so waking up to that process is important.
As a physician, how does Obamacare come? How do you work with Obamacare, or how does it occur for you?
Well, to be honest with you, it really hasn't occurred as of yet. Nothing has really changed substantially. I mean, we are going to see different kinds of care models develop, accountable care organizations, for example, which are risk-sharing pools between physicians and hospitals.
What is a risk-sharing pool?
Well, you know, it's an attempt to get the players that are in the delivery system, whether it's a physician or a hospital, to try and deliver quality care at reduced cost. And so, you know, to sort of look at the evidence that says, you know, this test is a useful test under these circumstances and that test is not. And perhaps this has been tried before.
So it's like team medicine or something?
Yeah, let's focus on what we know has value. And then the idea, of course, would be, well, gee, if you do that, you're incentivized because you save money. And so theoretically that would result in a bit of extra funds to go around at the end of the year. That those funds, of course, would then be pocketed by the players, the participants in the care delivery system. Whether that will work or not, I don't know. But any time you talk about, you know, you're incentivized to deliver higher quality care if you want to maintain a certain income. I have mixed feelings about that whole concept simply because I think the incentive never works out in the patient's best interest. You know, when we're talking about rewarding people by reducing care delivery, I think it remains to be seen. What I wanted to talk about actually was something called the coronary calcium score. I don't know if we have time to do that or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, well, the coronary calcium score is a test that's been available for several decades, but I think it's highly underutilized, and I wanted to talk about it a little bit because it came up again in an online print online before print in journal in the American College of Cardiology. There's a large kind of a cohort study. It's a study where a bunch of people are enrolled and they're monitored for a number of years. It's sponsored by the NIH. It's called the Multi-Ethnic Study of Atherosclerosis, or MESA, M-E-S-A, and basically looking at ways to understand the progress of coronary artery disease and what interventions might be helpful. Well, the coronary calcium score is a low-dose CT scan. It's a very low-power scan that just takes a quick look at calcium deposits in the coronary arteries. And, you know, calcium forms in coronary artery plaque, the thing that can cause a heart attack, early on in the disease process. And it really is a marker for the extent of coronary disease. It's like the tip of the iceberg.
Sounds like the lime that collects in your pipes.
It's exactly that. It's the lime that collects in your pipes.
When you have house problems and your pipes start.
What happens. It's the tip of the iceberg, and it's a simple test, and it's an extremely useful test because it's very, very sensitive, and it's the most predictive test we have in terms of identifying your risk for a future event, like a heart attack or dying from, heart disease. But it's underutilized, perhaps in part because it's generally not covered by the carriers. It's not covered by the payers, by the insurance plans. It's typically around $100 to $200 out of pocket, but it provides a wealth of information. And the reason I want to bring it up is because there are efforts to treat everyone with virtually no risk or little risk with statins or what's called a poly pill.
I don't know what a statin is.
A statin is a drug like Crestor or Lipitor.
Oh, okay.
And it's a class of medications to modify cholesterol with the idea of modifying your future risk, and people have talked about, you know, even beginning to treat kids with statins. This is really an effort, you know, behind the scenes, or not so behind the scenes, on the part of the pharmaceutical industry to get more of their product out there.
Well, first you have to give the kids shots so they can screw them up.
Well, so the poly pill is, the concept is that if you put a little bit of aspirin, a little bit of statin, a little bit of blood pressure medications in this one pill, and you indiscriminately throw it out there and give it to everyone, that you'll reduce the number of coronary deaths. But the problem is that you have to treat such a large number of individuals to prevent one event. And the whole point was that these folks were looking at the use of the coronary calcium score as a way to further risk stratify. And, of course, if you have a coronary calcium score of zero, that's great news because it really means that your 10-year risk of having a heart attack is something like 1%. That's 0.1%, a tenth of 1% per year, which is a very, very low risk. And there would be absolutely no reason why you would want to consent to a medical therapy in that circumstance. So I just want to recommend to folks out there that if you've not had a coronary calcium score and you're over 40 years old, if you're a male, if you're over 50 or 55, if you're a woman, that, and your physician says, hey, you know, why don't you start taking Crestor? We just want to kind of reduce your risk of having an event. Your cholesterol is a little bit high. You might want to push back a little bit and say, well, how about a coronary calcium score? Let me find
out what my real
coronary risk is. Yeah, and it's a very, very low-dose scan. It's a little bit like getting a mammogram in terms of X-ray exposure, but you're not going to be doing it annually or every other year.
How often are you going to be doing it?
Well, really, you probably want to do it once. You might want to do it a second time in 5 years just to see where things are headed. But generally speaking, you know, one scan would be sufficient to give you an idea about whether what you're doing is right, whether your genetics are favorable.
Yeah, it would be good for the doctor to know, too.
Absolutely. So
because it sounds like they're just kind of shotgunning it.
Well, that's absolutely the problem with that whole approach.
Very, very interesting. Thank you. Randy, questions or comments?
That's just really interesting. I'm totally going to get something set up.
Yeah, me too.
I love to hear about new and different things that we should be doing. And, you know, with Obamacare being so screwed up, which actually, Val, you had given some good numbers. I'd love for you to share them on air, but I did want to share that contract for Obamacare was a no-bid contract. You know, one of the things I love about our country is, like, Lewis, he's talking about this innovative stuff. And, you know, here in America, we are creative, we're innovative, it's awesome. You get the smartest minds together. And, you know, even if you're not very smart, maybe you're a hard worker. And, you know, everybody has their niche. Everybody has the thing that they're great at. But I was looking at this administration, and that Obamacare site, which is a total bomb, it was built by Michelle Obama's Princeton classmate, and she's actually the executive at the company that built the Obamacare website.
Oh, isn't that some kind of, what do you call it, insider, you know, benefit?
Yeah, I mean, there was no creativity, no other companies, no American companies that were allowed to bid on that. And we have such incredible, unique, creative, innovative people, Americans. That's what has made this country great. And when they sit there and they make it a no-bid contract and no competition can come in, what do you get? You get a site that doesn't work. And I hope it never works.
Well, according to the sovereign investor, it would be a good idea to get it up so that it can come down. I know it's funny reasoning, and I don't have it all quite figured out yet, but it looks like we're into a no woman's, no man's land here with the way it is, because it's way undersubscribed, and so they're going to be trying to force really high premiums and things of that nature on us. So I don't quite know how all of this thing is going to unravel. I figure the best thing to do is to actually remove the man who calls himself a president from office because he's illegal. But I did hear something really funny, Randy. And
okay.
I don't know if I mentioned it to you or Lewis. Here's the newest rumor that came around, and I just chuckled, okay, that Obama actually is a United States citizen, and the reason that he pretended to be foreign was that was the only way he could get into Colombia, because the number of U.S. citizens that can get in are really reduced, but if you're a foreign citizen, they have to take in a certain amount of you. So I found that amusing. The point being is that no matter which way you look at it, whether you look at it from rumor number one or rumor number 23, there's some hanky-panky going on over there. And we all know with the corporation running America that they have no right to be doing that. And as we are waking up and the administration, the current administration, is doing everything it can to get Americans upset. I've actually heard that there's 177,000 Russian troops. I know that now, like, 9 or 10 or 11 of our generals have been fired in the last few months, and
yes.
The accusation was that they were drinking, Randy. I would be drinking, too, if I were a general being asked to do what they were being asked to do. Okay, some of the rumors there are that a couple of the generals quit because they were told to put a bomb on Charleston, South Carolina, and they dropped it in the ocean instead. Another 9 got fired after that. All, as I say, when I read about him in the Times, it was like, oh, well, he had a drinking problem and stuff. Yeah, 11 of them? I don't think so.
No, so, all the top ones. And what's interesting is there was an earthquake off the coast. I mean,
4.5, by the way.
Right. None of us can know for sure. We can only guess. But the couple generals that were supposed to do that with the bomb, they were the top nuke guys. NUC, nuclear.
Yep.
And then they get fired.
Yep.
So,
and then 9 more get fired. Okay.
If I'm left to my imagination is running wild. So.
And then you have Obama giving instructions when the government was down to removing the water spigot knobs in the state park so that people couldn't get water, and telling the rangers to make life as uncomfortable as possible for American citizens. So to me, that's a desire to provoke a fight. Okay, and then
like I said, we according to them, we do not own the land. And you know, there's a difference. Like back in the day of the founding fathers, they used to say they lived on the land. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now you say I live in California. You live in it. You don't live on it anymore because you don't own it. There's a difference between a landowner and a property owner. A property owner, if you look it up in Black's Law Dictionary, which is what all the judges use and all the attorneys use, it's for property, it says that you only have interest in it. And if you look at if you bought a house, if you have a house, it says that you are a tenant on the property. You're a renter, you only have interest.
So this wasn't the way it was before 1913, okay? When those bankers got together on Jekyll Island, and you can read Griffin's book on that, The Creature from Jekyll Island, that's when the nastiness got put into full form. The corporation that created this mischief was started in 1871, and the man that I used to admire as the president, Abraham Lincoln, looks like he's the one that really got everything going in the direction of the corporation. So, unfortunately, none of our history is correct, and if they don't take down Columbus Day soon, I'm going to, like, pop my ears, because I can't stand it. It's like when I have to look at the Christopher Columbus Transcontinental Highway, and we're talking about what a murderer that he was. I mean,
3 million people.
Yeah, just thing after thing after thing that we're actually supposed to honor a murderer for and get the day off for a murderer, things of that nature. It's like, no, we need to, whoever the original people were that founded it, let's honor them. Let's get some truth happening here in America, and let's start throwing off the shackles of these lies that we've embraced because we were good little Americans and we went to school and we did our stuff. And if, frankly, you want to come to this country, you want to be in America, fine. I welcome you. As long as you take yourself and get yourself educated, I'm not interested in having people receive benefits who aren't citizens. And 83% of the people in jail are not educated in what it is to be an American. So you want emergency services, you want different things for yourself, go to school, get educated.
Contribute. Yeah.
Pardon?
You know, I was just having that conversation with somebody this morning, and they were talking about some refugees that were sent to their state, and they were Asian. And when they got sent there, a certain sector of the population resented it because they ran the neighborhood down to where trash everywhere and the homes were destroyed, etc. And these Asians, there was 20,000 of them, were put in the same exact neighborhoods. They were given the same housing, everything. And what they did with it is they made it pristine and beautiful and clean. They took pride in what they had. And that has been what has made America great. And all these welfare benefits and things where the government, you know, gets people feeding off the trough and they're going to vote the way they want them to vote because they don't want to, you know, lose the hand that's feeding them. It's disgusting. It's despicable. It's not America. America is creative. Look at Lewis and what he was just sharing with us. Innovative, amazing, smart, educated, taking pride in what they do. That's America. That's
yeah,
what
James
I love.
James Earl Almos, actually, George Bush Sr. was actually sending in troops to quell the riots in East Los Angeles, and James Earl Almos actually went out into the streets with a broom and started sweeping up the streets. And by the time he was done, the army went away and the people took back their pride. This program has been brought to you by Kirkard Media, our radio partners, ConingCompany.com, Dr. James Murphy, John Denver, Dennis Weaver, Larry Hagman, and Esther Williams in memoriam, and DrValerie.com, and doctors all spelled out. We thank our producers and sponsors. Ron Hayes is a wonderful research editor, and a big thank you to our team at Voice America, Jeff Spadar, Nathan Jett, Brad Comer, Ryan Treasure, Randy Jackman, Dadant, Dasha, and our friends at Cumulus Radio. Monica Raines, Ron Simon, Mike Vitale. A big thanks to John Thomas, our webmaster. Merci beaucoup to Bent Migan for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People, which is available to you as a free MP3. Next week, invite a friend to listen. Watch us at Val. Listen to us at Val at makingupanamerica.com. And remember, city is healthy as 40 is due. A misfit a day gives someone a boost. We love you.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.